Welcome to Hey You Geeks. I'm Tony Nunes.
And I'm Rick Ribello.
And this is our first Hey You Geeks of the year. And ironically, we are recycling an interview that we meant to put out last October when we went to New York Comic Con, but we never got to. And it's a big interview. It's actually a series of interviews. Rick, talk about these interviews because it's been a long time coming.
Well, these interviews are with the cast and crew and producers and directors of Ash vs. the Evil Dead. Tony and I, longtime fans of the Evil Dead series, and definitely fans of this television series. And we got a chance to sit down and talk to just about everybody involved.
Yes, and we are going to end this episode with those interviews. And those interviews include Sam Raimi and showrunner Craig DiGregorio, Lucy Lawless and Lucy Lawless and Jill Marie Jones,
yeah,
who are actresses on the show. New actors Ray Santiago and Dana DiLorenzo, Bruce Campbell himself, and effects designer Roger Murray. So I mean, we have all of those interviews coming up. We got to sit down for roundtable interviews at New York Comic Con with all of these people, and it was pretty awesome.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was great.
Especially Sam Raimi and Bruce Campbell. Just to be able to sit with them and chat was a great pleasure.
Yeah, it's almost surreal to be able to sit down and talk to them because, you know, from a very young age, I know for me, and certainly I'm sure for you too, Tony, that we were, you know, fans of their work. And you know, growing up and watching Bruce Campbell and so many different shows and enjoying him in every show. And the funny thing about this show is that, you know, Bruce, you know, worked with the group of people in the 90s that were doing things like Xena and all these other different things. And here he is back in New Zealand doing a show.
With Lucy Lawless, yes.
Lucy Lawless, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So what's awesome about this show, well, first of all, let's say that we recorded these interviews before the first episode premiered, and now the entire season is over. If you have not caught the show, however, it's on demand if you have Stars, and if not, you can get Stars Play, which is their subscription service, and I highly recommend it because this show, for 2015, this is probably one of the best shows. I mean, hands down, it is one of the best shows. Ironically, it's the funniest show, I would say, of the year, for me at least.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, it really, people have asked me who haven't seen it, they're like, well, because, you know, the Evil Dead's had different incarnations and different sort of tones for each different type. And I said, you know, this is more akin to Evil Dead 2, which everybody loves to hear that because that's the one that I think that people enjoy the most of them all. And I know I do.
Yeah, and Bruce Campbell, I mean, Bruce Campbell takes this thing and runs with it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which, I mean, he's everything about this show.
Yeah, he's really all is. In. Yeah.
I think Stars, Stars has a lot of great shows now, a lot of great genre shows like Outlander. But this show, I don't know, this may be my most favorite horror television series. I'm trying to recall all of the past horror television series, but this ranks up there as maybe the best. It's definitely the best television show movie to television show adaptation I've seen in years.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Because usually those kind of fall apart, and this is spot on.
Yeah, I mean, it has the distinct advantage, you know, being on a cable network where it's not hindered. You know, if anything, you know, it was the absolute best possible avenue, I think, to take Evil Dead because it facilitated, you know, bringing Ash back and in a way where they could do anything they wanted. They could talk any way they wanted. You know, they're not really hampered by, you know, going up against The Force Awakens in the theaters or something like that. And, you know, not only making a certain amount of money, they're able to exist and continue to exist. And I think that's a great thing. I'm so excited that these avenues exist now.
Yeah, man, it's crazy because looking at I watched the Golden Globes this past weekend, and looking through the nominations, you see all of these shows are coming from places like Hulu and Amazon and Netflix and, you know, all of these new avenues and you know, these paid subscription cable companies like Stars and HBO and Showtime, mm-hmm. you know, their stuff has always been strong, but it's getting stronger and stronger, and they're focusing more on kind of niche audiences. Yeah. And I think that that's going to work in everybody's favor.
Yeah, and I think, you know, they're just focused on telling really good stories. Whereas I think network television had gotten so, you know, I wouldn't say, I'd say homogenized.
Yeah, it's watered down.
Well, and just, it's kind of standard, you know what I mean? All the tropes of sitcoms and things like that are all things that we've seen so many times. And these networks are really taking the ball and running and doing something different with shows, and that's what makes them work, I think.
Yeah, and the crazy thing about Ash versus Evil Dead is that it is a horror comedy at its essence, right. And it's very funny, and it works perfectly in this first season. And I will say it has been picked up for a second season, but this first season was 10 episodes. They're all half-hour episodes, which is it's the perfect amount of time. Mm-hmm. But this it's funnier than any other half-hour sitcom,
right?
Which are straight-up comedies that I've seen this year.
Well, the one thing and we talk about a little bit in the interviews, even before we met the show, is when we talked to Ray Santiago and Dana DiLorenzo about, you know, what it was like being Ash's sidekicks. And I want to say those two, there was such a great chemistry between the three of them, between Bruce Campbell, Ray Santiago, and Dana DiLorenzo, that it really makes the show fun. You know what I mean? It really is between Pablo and Kelly and Ash. They really make this thing work. And I think that Pablo and Kelly added a lot to this.
They really did. And you can tell that the whole experience, you can tell this from the interview, was fun for them to do. And they, right. you know, they weren't fully familiar with the Evil Dead franchise coming on.
Yeah.
And neither was Lucy Lawless. And she has some funny stories about that, mm-hmm. About tree rape in particular.
Right.
But yeah, this new cast, lots of great energy. And I think working with Bruce Campbell, mm-hmm. it must be such a great environment to work in because right. he's such a nice, funny, sarcastic, mm-hmm. and he just is who he is. And I there's not many actors like that. He mm-hmm. really doesn't have an ego. Mm-hmm. And I really, you can really appreciate that, especially yeah. meeting him. You know, I've always suspected that, but just talking to him about, you know, the passion and the fun and the BS behind the scenes, right. you can tell that, you know, he's having a lot of fun with his work and
yeah.
that must be a great feeling for an actor.
Yeah. And you really feel that he's just, especially in this show, he's really just going for it. You know what I mean? He's not holding anything back. He doesn't have this slight look of an actor who comes back. Every now and then an actor will come back to a role and you kind of look at them and you could tell they're kind of, going through the motions or not really enjoying it. But you don't get that feeling at all in this series. Not at all.
He's a strange actor because he has that he has that solid jawline and look that mm-hmm. seems kind of old fashioned in some kinds of ways. But right. But at the same time he's a very physical his comedy is very physical. His mm-hmm. facial expressions are very obvious and out there. Right. So I think, you know, he comes from this really, and we talk about this a little with the Three Stooges and things like that in the interview, yeah. but he, you can tell he's well schooled in this classic film style, you know, that harkens all the way back to the silent films. And I think for horror in particular, that kind of personality really shines.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, it's, yeah, watching every episode, it's funny because none of the episodes are a letdown at all. It's like you never feel. I think part of it is the 20, you know, 20 some odd minute structure. You know, you almost kind of want it to be more. But in the end, I think I'm kind of happy they did what they did because you never felt like you were sitting through an episode going, oh man, what's, you know, how much longer is this going to go?
Yeah, and I think, I think Starz is good with that. Mm-hmm. Weren't the Spartacus, those shows were a half an hour too, right?
I think so, yeah.
I mean, those, you know, Lucy Lawless was great in those.
Mm-hmm.
Those were kind of off the wall, bizarre too. I think Stars is they kind of have a nice flow with some of the shows that they have out as far as, you know, they're really appealing to a certain demographic, but they're very stylized and they're really big on genre, it seems.
Yeah, they are, yeah.
Which is why this was the perfect place for the show to land.
Yeah. God bless them.
God bless them for sure. You know what else I think is awesome is the effects, and we do talk to Roger Murray, who is props and prosthetics designer and supervisor for the series. Mm-hmm. But there's so many great practical effects,
right?
And this is the bloodiest show. You know, people say Game of Thrones, there's such a high death count, there's lots of blood, and no, you want to see lots of blood, watch Ash versus Evil Dead. It's
right.
It's wonderfully bloody.
Well, that's Evil Dead. I mean, you can't.
Oh yeah.
Evil Dead is just known for pumping gallons and gallons and gallons of blood or colored substances at their actors. So.
Did I say Walking Dead?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay. I thought I just said Walking Dead because I was thinking about Walking Dead. Because Walking Dead,
The Walking Dead is the bloodiest network television show.
Absolutely, it is. But at the same time, the blood on Ash versus Evil Dead is a lot shinier. It's very red.
Like I said, the Evil Dead has always been good at not just, you know, red, but multiple different colors.
Yes.
You know?
And they're also good at, I mean, their gore and effects and horror is, I don't want to say campy, it's not campy, but it's very exaggerated horror.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, that's how it works in the comedy world. But there's some really great effects in this. There's a little bit of CGI here and there. It's done okay.
I only thought, the one piece of weak CGI I thought was in the first episode. With the doll and some of the other things going on, you know, that was a little shaky.
A little
bit. Other than that, it didn't bother me the rest of the way. I thought it was pretty solid.
Yeah, I mean, they use it pretty sparingly. And Sam Raimi directed the pilot. I don't know if he directed any more episodes. I don't think so. But you can definitely tell from the first episode that he directed it.
Oh, yeah.
It has lots of his trademark style.
Mm-hmm. No, it feels like Evil Dead. I mean, it feels there's no incongruity. It is what it is. You know, it's the Evil Dead.
Absolutely. Well, let's go into the interviews now. Let's start then with our interview with Sam Raimi. The first interview, we sat down. Like I said, this was a kind of a roundtable interview with a bunch of different people. So our first interview was Sam Raimi, who wrote, directed, produced. He's the creator of this entire franchise. So we got to sit down with him, and he brought on new showrunner for the series. He didn't want to be the showrunner, so he brought on Craig DiGregorio. We got to sit down with those two guys, and the first question we asked for the interview was, what made you want to return to the Evil Dead franchise?
Five words. The fans. the fans. The. So they've been demanding this. I didn't want to return to it for many years. I wanted to go on and make Spider-Man movies, other characters, other stories. I'd already made three of them. I love Bruce, but I just didn't know if there was more to do. But they really wanted it, and so we listened to them. It's never happened to me before like that. I think that's why I just didn't know you made movies based on the audience's desire to see them. It's very rare for me. Like, nobody asked me to make another Spider-Man picture. Nobody asked me to make another Darkman picture, a Simple Plan sequel, or whatever I did. Just this one. So it was really finally listening to them. And it continues for the Evil Dead fans. And we hope that they'll be good with it. We really pray that they will. It's made for them. But we've also taken steps to introduce new characters in the pilot. I mean, new audience members to the characters in the pilot.
I've talked to people who have seen the first episode. Fans versus people who have never seen it, and I think it's equally liked. It's because it's such a fun, weird universe to put yourself into, and I think people just like that. It's different from a lot of things on television, so I think even new viewers who haven't seen the movies enjoy getting put in sort of an interesting place. And it's... You're not doing a ton of... Like, you're meeting Ash, and you're not... we're helping catch people up or let them know what the world is, I think, sort of at the same time.
For many years, my brother Ivan and I were writing an Evil Dead 4 movie, different versions of it, some great ideas, and then we just realized no one really would want to distribute an Evil Dead 4 movie. It'd be really big, and it'd be another fake spectacular, but it'd be too expensive. They never really made much money. So then Rob said, oh, the economics might work out for TV. And then I would tell Bruce and Rob, I'm writing with my brother, still writing with my brother. And then, at some convention they were for Spider-Man, they said, when are you going to do the Evil Dead movie? I said, okay, I'm writing it this summer with my brother. And so Bruce saw that, and so he wasn't really surprised. There was 1,000 pieces of information that came out and told him when it was coming.
But as far as how he reacted, he started working out.
Getting in shape.
Yes, you're right.
He really did.
I mean, he looks like looks like an action hero now. Look at that guy.
Yeah,
he looks really good. I said this at the other table, but early on in the writer's room, I won't tell the story again because you've already heard it. But there are some jokes in the script about how he was really overweight and like looking rough. And he came in the writer's room. He's like, "You guys, I'm going to make you eat your words." And then went and like, he looks damn good. So he started putting himself together. Yep. I feel like we kind of turned his life around.
We got to inflict a little pain on him in the pilot and a little bit all through the series so far. And I'm kind of waiting to hear that whenever the last show is, you know, however many seasons we go, God help Bruce for those last 3 episodes. So I'm taking all that's left out of him. There's no restrictions from Starz. They really want us to make something as wild and crazy as we'd like. They want the flavor of whatever Evil Dead was, but brought to the big screen. I mean, the small screen, in a big way. They've only been very supportive, and we don't really have restrictions. There's the budget and time constructions of TV. I can't set up those, and I only directed the pilot, but as a team, we can't take the time to set up all these really cool camera shots that suggest the supernatural, you know, in abstract and artistic ways.
To pick your spots.
You have to pick your spots to do that. And instead, we focus on the character of Ash, which I think the audience really likes anyways.
On our next interview, we talked to Jill Marie Jones and Lucy Lawless and talked about their interaction in their show, what their characters are like.
Louise.
We're Thelma and Louise.
We're Thelma each other's Louise.
Gal pal, and we're gunning down that moron and his loser buddies.
Yes, that's exactly who we are.
Yeah.
Amanda, what I love so much about Amanda Fisher, she is a Michigan State Trooper. She's a badass. She knows her way around a gun. She doesn't like the word no. But she's one of the good guys, and she really does fight for good. And she meets this mystery over here.
I'm an enigma. No, my character, her father was Professor Nobe, who was the original holder of the Necronomicon in the movies. And her whole family got destroyed by Ash and his deadite plague. So now that he's released it again, she's absolutely going to put him in the ground because she's responsible for all the ill in her life. And she's very fixated on him, and not in a sexy way. I saw the first 5 minutes of the first Evil Dead when I was 16 or 17 with my first boyfriend, and I stomped out after the tree rape. Going, the people who made this movie are sick, misogynistic, unprintable, and 12 years later I was married to one of them.
That's like, brilliant.
From Mount Albert, New Zealand, bottom of the world, who would have thunk it, and here we are. But the movies are much more like the second two, the comedies, because tree rape ain't funny.
And I also, too, what I love so much, I call it Evil Dead for Dummies because I feel like the first episode is, if you've never seen the films, I feel like new fans will be able to, you jump get it real quick. Like, you understand. They do it so well, and I know that the diehard fans, they did them really well. Like, so
they did them proud, yeah.
Yeah, they did them really proud. So I think people are going to love it.
Action.
And thank God. Like,
all the women are tough in this show.
All the women are tough. And thank God, Sam Raimi. Thank God, all of our producers, and that you have women. Like, the 3 female leads of this show are all kick ass. not waiting for the man to come and save them because they can handle it themselves. Like, it's really refreshing. I came home with bruises. Like, I came home because we really went go. Like, we really went in, like, all the characters. Like, we committed. And also, too, we have an amazing stunt department that there was a gym in New Zealand, which was really nice. Like, it was right on set. So you can go in there and punch bags and, like, I didn't know until I went to New Zealand.
I didn't know there was a gym.
Are you kidding me? You can go in there and shoot guns.
Nobody tells me anything.
Yeah, no, so there was, like, a full-on gym, and when I didn't know, and then I got to New Zealand, I was like, oh, yeah, so you have MMA training tomorrow. I'm like, excuse me? MMA. Oh, I've seen one of the, that's scary, but okay. But, no, it was awesome, and we had a great stunt department, but it was physical.
We do have a world-class stunt department.
Yeah, they're
New Zealand,
awesome.
That's where they, you know, raised from Hercules and Xena.
Yeah, we have a great stunt department.
Amazing
stunt department. Yeah,
I gotta say, it was painful to me. I don't do as much action in this as I used to, but it's painful. I'm like at the chiropractor for 2 weeks after like doing some really lame stunts, something I used to do before breakfast, you know, many times, and now it's like you do one and it's just murder. But the show is funny because it's a half hour. You don't waste a minute. It's really punchy. I think it really does do the fans proud, and all their expectations are going to be met. And it's really, like, that's quite bold talk, but we feel really proud of what we've done.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Bruce is, nobody's in more pain than Bruce, by the way, because he's really put through it. And
yeah, he really is. And what also, too, that I loved, I felt like a 13-year-old boy, honestly, because I'm shooting guns. I'm from Texas. You would think I have, like, 10 in my purse, but I don't. But I never held a gun before, never shot a real gun before.
Oh, my God. You are amazing with a gun.
I felt like a 13-year-old boy. I was living. You know,
you're
I was like,
the power of
I,
w- it, yeah.
I was getting the power of it. And then the bruises that I would get from, like, you know, banging up to something, I was like, I was like, yeah, baby. Like, I worked hard today. Oh. It was awesome.
I'm sick of being bruised. It doesn't matter. Sometimes it goes against me. You know, what's best for the show is that you do things that are extremely distasteful to you, but you know that it's right. And what I respect about Rob so much is that the telling the stories comes first. He's not going to make things softer or better for me. And we're of the same mind in that way. You know, I would not like him better if he made my life cushier. Get along. But
well, Ruby was brunette at first, and she was like, hell no to that. And she was like, that's where I put my foot down.
Hang on, wait, what? So lost, no. Yeah, no, we didn't know what the character was at the beginning. You know, thing is with
She's
Ruby,
kind of
she
a
does
mystery.
A bit of, does the mystery thing. That's because we didn't know what the hell the character was. I came late to it. They do a slow burn because you've got to establish the world of Ash and his family before you bring in the shark. You know, I'm Jaws. I'm a shadow. I'm a fin. I'm a bloody music cue. I'm before you see her teeth coming at her. So a bit of a slow burn on Ruby, but it's necessary because you need to have something to lose before you can, you know, fear him and the loss of him and his family.
Next, we get to sit down with Roger Murray, who, like I said, is the effects designer on the series. The first question we asked him were there any limitations working with stars? We wanted to know, you know, if he was restricted in any way from doing what he does best.
Yeah, it's a similar, yeah, absolutely. We haven't had any limitations yet. They haven't set any limitations. I think most of it gets set up through the writing, and so the writers have been fantastic in building certain effects as we go along, and like also as the series evolves, they actually get an idea of what we're capable of and the amount of time, and that's been really great. So no, they haven't set any limitations yet. I don't think they will. I think just generally we've done a lot of like character makeups, right, and that, those have been all really fun, and we've done pretty much every Deadeye is its own character makeup, so we've got a tone for the whole show, but we've gone sort of personalised everyone. We haven't sort of blocked out each character separately. So that's been quite good. And I think just generally making rigs for me, going back to the old school rigs with dummy rigs and insert rigs, like dismemberments, beheadings. We've made a few puppets. Bruce gets a lot of the blood, you know, he's in there. But look, the whole cast were amazing. They're really amazing. They really stepped up to it because it's a fast turnaround TV show, so it's on. I mean, we do a lot of effects in our turnaround for episodically, so there was no downtime from blood, and they just got used to it. It was really good. Yeah, I think look, there's a huge gravitas with Evil Dead, so in trying to, you know, we've got a great makeup artist. I was working with two really good makeup artists, Jane O'Kane and Denise Kum, down there, who both share a credit in the prosthetic design, because we basically allocated some of the tonal stuff to the on-set makeup artists, the designers. So, and that was really great. But I think we've had a really good pool of effects makeup artists through the whole Lord of the Rings. And I think we ended up getting people from America. We drew people from America and Australia, and I think just the tone and the want for people to work in the show was enough to draw people down to New Zealand. And we were really lucky. Had some great technicians come down, great makeup artists, people who worked in the industry a lot in the States, who came down, and they love being in New Zealand. It's quite different down there. So yeah. So we were really lucky. It is one of those things that we're a small country, so when a lot of different projects get going, you know, it's it does get quite tight. But I think, you know, Evil Dead will always draw people in. We sort of run our workshop so that the makeup artists, special effects makeup artists, are usually technicians too. So they'll get the ability to potentially sculpt, you know, some of the designs and do the technical side and go out and do the makeups. So it's quite a holistic sort of way we run it. So for them, it's, you know, they feel a little bit more connected to the show, and they've really enjoyed it. It's been great fun. And you know, they come out of the workshop, get some blood on their hands, come back, wash their hands, go back out. So, you know, it's been really good. It's always getting ratcheted up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not, the thing is actually trying to contain that, so it actually looks scary, you know, and not too over the top, you know what I mean? So so it depends what the pace of the gag is we're doing. So some of the gags we'll do will go completely berserk, you know, mostly when Bruce is involved, you know. On Sam's episode, it was like, let's really ratchet it up. I really want to see Bruce, because he loves getting Bruce covered in blood.
Yep.
So it was like, let's ratchet it right. Let's just go crazy. And we have guys on set with kegs of blood and blood pumps, and they are pumping. So, I mean, that's really fun. But, you know, there's other times where we want to build the pace of the show, and we want it to be scary a lot more, potentially, like, you know, like the remake, where there's actually a bit more of a sense of impending doom, you know, and you know, we'll sort of tone it down a little bit. So there's a nice sort of variation in it. It's it's worked really well. It's really fun, man. It's, you guys are gonna love it. It's crazy. It's a crazy half hour. Thing is, it's one of those shows that I mean I'd love to go and see when I get home from work. I just go and sit down and watch it. It's really fun. Because, of course, that's one of the things, because the tone changes in the movies, you know, from the first Evil Dead to the second one to Army of Darkness. There's a sort of overriding sort of feeling to it, but the actual makeup and the look of the makeup's changed quite a bit. So what we've done is we've gone back to look mostly at Evil Dead 2, right, and look at that and get the tone from that and sort of lift it a little bit for a TV show. So, yeah, we've always wanted to make our own sort of thing. We didn't want to copy it outright, because I think it had its time and its place then. We've drawn on that. We've drawn on the palette and different hues of what they've used initially. And I love that. I mean, I love that movie. It's great. So to be able to go over and deconstruct it, talk with Sam about, you know, where they sort of started and what the background of it was, and then sort of slightly just change it and work with him and get a feeling of what the Deadites were going to look like, and, you know, it's just pushed a little bit. I mean, we didn't want to dial it right back to there, right? We actually wanted to enhance it for the show. So we've actually taken all the appliances we make are all silicon appliances. So there's more of a naturalism. That's probably the best way I could describe it to it. That we didn't want it to be too theatrical. We wanted you to actually feel like they had actually gone through it rather than stepping in. So there's definitely a hark back to Evil Dead movies, but I think it is its own thing too. Yeah, and I think that's just the natural progression of, as you say, makeup effects generally. The fact that it was like a movie of its time. So I mean, yeah, it's just we've taken our own riff on it. It's been fun, you know. I think there's a mentality initially that's starting to change quite a bit, where visual effects supervisors and stuff would try and pick up lots of the effects in pre-production meetings. But what we found was that, and mostly we're going on Spartacus. Like Spartacus is a great example, because I think when you start birthing a show, right, everyone starts trying to figure out, you know, what jigsaw piece they are and what's going to be best for the show. And I definitely know that there was a big gravitas on Spartacus with the visual effects guys to actually try and do stuff as practically as possible, because the turnaround in television is really fast. So yeah, the post-production side's really fast because it's matching where you are in the shooting schedule. So they don't seem to always be putting their hand up as much, Joe, now, and going, I'll take that. It's actually, we're being a lot more clever about it. And I think for them, it's great. If they can get something in camera and we've got a plan right from the start, then, you know, we can come up with a great product. And look, we're doing Evil Dead, so there's a lo-fi aspect to some things, and there's things that, you know, that I think you're just going to love because you know how they're done, and they're fun. You know, it's a fun show, so... you know, if you've got dummies being chopped up with chainsaws and you've got dismembered arms and we've made some really lovely silicon body, you know, all that stuff, I mean, you know, we don't have to hide that, you know, with visual effects, and the visual effects people don't have to clean it up. It just is what it is, you know, and you're carried by the story, carried by the characters. So
our next interview was with Ray Santiago and Dana DiLorenzo, and we asked them as well what it was like to introduce us to their characters.
I play Pablo Simon Bolivar, who is this idealistic guy who came from Honduras and ended up meeting Ash at the value stop. He is the heart of the unit and the eyes of the audience. And, you know, Pablo is Ash's main homie. And he was warned about evil lurking in the world by his family, and he didn't believe it. And he comes face to face with it and realizes and believes that Ash is the man to save the world from evil. And he is Ash's biggest cheerleader, and he sees beyond all of his flaws and believes in him. And through idolizing Ash, he starts to, you know, he realizes that he doesn't want to be like Ash, but he wants to be his own man, and he wants to be his own hero. And I'll turn it over to Dana, because Dana comes along for the ride, because she sort of gets dragged into this whole situation by me.
That is true. Kelly is best friends with Pablo, and like Ray said, gets dragged in this fight against evil. But she is a real badass in the making. She is tough. She tells you like it is. She's not afraid to speak her mind. And she's really smart. She's quick on her feet. She can turn anything into a weapon if she needs to. And even though she's a little hesitant, or a lot of hesitant, to join the fight at first, she eventually gets her own reasons to fight the Deadites and becomes the common sense of the group, which is great for Ash. And I think her and Ash are a lot more similar than either would care to admit. And for that reason, they push each other's buttons, but they have each other's backs, which is really cool. I think it's a very much like a big brother, younger sister relationship. And sometimes Kelly and Pablo are big sister, little brother. So these are her boys. This is her new family that she has found.
Wow.
And ultimately, you know, Kelly finds her purpose in fighting evil and her reason to get out of bed every day.
Well, I don't think I've ever looked at my sister the way that Pablo looks at
no,
Kelly.
No, I'm saying from Kelly's point of view.
I know, but I'm just saying Pablo looked at Kelly with a different set of eyes. I don't think I've ever looked at my sister that way. But I just want to say I feel like, you know, the show is ultimately about a group of people who are trying to escape who they're really meant to be. And they are, you know, running from running from the demons that they have to fight and the demons that they have inside. And once they come into contact with them and overcome them, they become this super strong monster fighting squad that they were supposed to always be. So somehow these three dysfunctional people mm-hmm. come together and they become a unit that is responsible for saving the world from evil.
We would just throw everything on each other when we were yeah. prepping. We're just like, oh, I got some maple syrup here.
I
he went and ran
lot.
In the woods. Yeah. He ran in the woods in his underwear.
Yeah. I worked out a lot, and
he did. Yeah. Can I just commend how his committal to the gym and he? He looks very good.
I would wake up at
Kelly
like,
has noticed. Kelly is like, maybe Pablo's not.
I had to keep it up. I was like, damn it, she's not looking at me the way I want her to look
yeah.
at me.
Meanwhile, I'm eating every dessert every day that we could have got, you know.
We had a lot of meat pies and a lot of biscuits in New Zealand.
New Zealand was amazing, and their desserts. Oh, God, everything there was so good. It was, well, and also, like, I was actually terrified a lot of the time filming it. Like, I didn't think I was going to because it's make-believe. But seeing the actors coming in playing the deadites, seeing them normal like we are today, and then in hair and makeup for 4 hours, 5 hours with this incredible special effects team, makeup effects, and then they would just be walking around the lunchroom. I couldn't eat when, like, I couldn't look at them. It is that terrifying up close. And they didn't even have the contacts in. So I would, like, take an extra dessert and be like, I'm going to go to my trailer and have my comfort food. Because it was honestly very terrifying, and weird things happened. I still think the set was possessed. Things would just fall over at the strangest times. The noises when we were filming in the stage, the roof would be banging like there were a million, I don't know, deer up
yeah,
there.
No,
and everyone's
like birds.
Oh, it's, yeah.
There's birds that sounded like
there's
monkeys.
There's birds, yeah. I'm like, there's the birds doing, you know, Chicago right now on Broadway. And it's just the wind, it's the birds. But I'm telling you, weird stuff happened.
I mean,
we summoned evil for sure during this.
The fact that we were able to leave Los Angeles and create our own bubble in New Zealand with
incredible.
Bruce and Lucy and Jill Marie Jones, who cooked for me on many occasions and just made
Jill
me
Marie
lovely
Jones.
Chicken soup.
Oh,
we best. Were able to create this family unit outside of our, you know, normal habitat, and it really helped. And, you know, I just want to give props to the New Zealand crew. That,
yeah, Kiwis.
Yeah, the Kiwis were amazing, and Auckland took really good care of us. And you know, we're excited to hopefully be going back. And
yes,
you know, we really feel like you guys are not going to be disappointed with what we've done, because it's kind of groundbreaking. Because, like, you know, Sam created this genre of you know, cult classic, like horror comedy, and we're bringing it to television in a single camera, half hour format. And I don't think that there's anything like that right now on television. You've got all these other horror shows, but ours isn't taking itself too seriously. You can pop some popcorn, and it's quick, and you're gonna love it.
It's like walking into a comedy club that's inside the scariest haunted house you've ever been in, and it's jam-packed in 30 minutes. There's all the blood equivalent action, but then there's also some good drama, actually, and comedy. It's honestly, it's just, it's entertaining. That's, I just think it, I'm really excited for everyone to see it.
Finally, we got to sit down with the man, Bruce Campbell, Ash Williams himself. And the first question I asked, is Ash your favorite character that you've played in all of your years as an actor?
I'd say so. Especially now. I'd say it's been cemented now. Because he's much more of a full-blown character now. And if we can do this for a couple of years, then we can really kick some ash. We can really bring that character full throttle, which I can't wait. Because you do a TV show, you're going to have to throw that son of a bitch into all kinds of scenarios that you never had to before. So you have to tell a lot of story in the show. So we'll see what happens to our hero. I'm looking forward to it. I hope ridiculous things happen to him. Same guy, just he didn't do shit for 25 years. Same guy. Nothing. Drinking at bowling alleys at closing time, lying to women about how he lost his right hand. That's what he's doing. He's doing nothing. People always love that. Well, what kind of character development? We don't have any. Nothing. It's the same guy. You'll see him develop over the course of the show. He has to become a hero. When we find him, he is not a hero. He thinks he's a hero, but he has so lost it. Yeah, he's over the hill. Yeah, I love it. He's got to put on a man girdle and pop his dentures in. I think that's hilarious. Sam was talking about putting a box of Depends in the trunk. And you just see the box. You don't really talk about it. Or Ash says, pull over. Why? I got to get something. What? Don't worry about it. Just pull over. You know, then he throws it in the back and he doesn't have to say anything. I think that's awesome. Why not? Why do our heroes have to be so perfect? What a bore. Jesus Christ. No, no. The good news is he's getting older, so he doesn't have enough punch anymore. So it's good. He doesn't have a right hook that he used to have. Now he has people do it for him. But no, he's always the blood deliverer. He's always, if someone's getting the blood in the face, he's the one to do it. Of the Three Stooges, Mo was always the guy who threw the pies. He just had the touch. He was like, get out of the way. They had prop guys. He would take the pie. Bam. He would hit it dead on every time. Sam's got that touch. He like, you know, because you can't get into the frame. I mean, it's a very delicate line. I mean, literally. So he's got to know. He knows where the edge of that frame is, and his cup is like right there, but he never goes in. It's perfect. He hits you every time. Because you don't want to redo that. You got to practice it to get it once. You know, I usually have a good time on film sets, and the Evil Dead movies, they never are really a good time. But that's okay, because I find them very creatively satisfying. But none of it are comfortable or fun. You know, you're covered with blood and shit, like, for 12 hours a day. It gets old fast. You know, wearing stunt rigs, and you can't breathe. And every time you scratch your head, you pull the hair out of your arms because the dried blood, you know. You got ants who are crawling all over you. You know, it's just because you're wet and sticky and you're sweet with the fake blood. I track rodents, you know, it's like that type of deal.
And lastly, we asked Bruce Campbell, how quickly did this new show come together?
This happened really fast, shockingly fast for this industry, because things are usually developed for years. No, we did a remake because people would not shut up about it, and we wanted to give them something. We wanted to say, here's something, and Sam didn't want to direct it himself, but he thought, let me handpick a guy, Fede Alvarez, and let him have a shot at it. We think he did a great job, and it made a lot of money around the world, which at least convinced us that people are still out there, the fans are still out there somewhere, but they want Sam, and they want Ash. So we're going to give it to them. We're tired of fighting it. But the economics of making a movie, another movie, because we could get enough money to make a remake directed by a first-time director, we couldn't get enough money to make another one directed by Sam Raimi. I mean, as famous of a director as he has become, because he needs money. Sam makes, you know, he thinks big, really big. So TV made sense. And Rob Tappert had worked with Starz on Spartacus. I worked in television for years on Burn Notice. So we were TV guys. I feel like I'm a TV guy as much as a feature guy. So I couldn't wait to do it. So we pitched it to Sam. It's where you need to be. You know, we don't have to do an alternate take to say something. Oh, gosh, golly, darn it. Put that over there. You know, none of that horse shit. You can just talk like an adult. Ash can talk like he needs to talk. I like it a lot. It's just the first two Evil Dead movies were unrated. Only Army of Darkness had a rating because it was made for a studio. We had to have a rating. So this is how people need to see it. I can't wait. Because this is glorious violence, by the way. This is like, when our blood goes, it's like, it's celebratory. You know what I mean? This is not going to be dreary violence. This is going to be, if it's possible, like fun violence. This is not going to warp your life. We take the horror seriously, but you know, there's other things to life, and we want to keep Ash, you know, the trash talking hero. We can do whatever we want.
Yeah.
I mean, the coolest thing ever is to be able to show up on a set and to know that you have no restrictions. But if you have an idea, you shoot it. it works, you keep it, and knowing that if it doesn't, you get rid of it. You know what I mean? So it's a great way to work as an actor or anybody in the arts. You want to function in environments that are creative. And you'd be surprised how many environments you get into that are not really that creative, where someone is very controlling, a writer doesn't want you to change anything, or a director, like, you're his little pawn, and he wants to put you here, and he wants to put you there. Certain DPs, camera guys, want to shoot things in a certain way, so they want you to cheat. You know, I'm like, fuck you. Let's make the show. You know what I mean? So creatively, that's what I'm all about. I'll go to the ends. I'll go to New Zealand to do that.
Was there a lot of ad-libbing?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and the kids, I call them the kids, Ray and Dana. They're getting on board. Not like it's a competition, but there will be things that occur to their character to say. A lot of times a writer, they won't do what I call a button. They won't button up a scene. And so sometimes there are things that just make sense.
Okay, so those were our interviews with the cast and crew of Ash vs. Evil Dead.
Yeah, we really enjoyed it. It was great to be able to sit down and talk to them, especially now, as I'm looking back in retrospect, you know, after we've seen the entire show, it's so great to just be a part of it and be able to talk to them, and looking so forward for the next season.
And like I said earlier in the show, if you have not yet seen it, it is available on demand if you are a Star subscriber. And if not, you can find the show on the Star subscription service, Stars Play. And I definitely recommend checking it out. Until next time, this is Hey You Geeks. I'm Tony Nunes.
And I'm Rick Ribello.
And we will talk to you then.
This podcast has been a production of the Geek Dad Podcast Network. If you've enjoyed this content, please consider supporting us at patreon.com/geekdad.